things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you in to a Thursday night at Monte Alban 2 on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network Football Fiesta, taking place in Monte Alban 2 on the east side of the historic Clay County Courthouse Square, Ashland, Alabama. And this kind of a different edition of Football Fiesta tonight. We've got Coach Steve Giddens along for the ride tonight.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
We've got Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Herron, and our man, the voice of the Vols, who's normally mans this number one seat, is unable to be with us tonight, a prior commitment that he couldn't get out of. And so we're going to try to get through this the best we can without him here. He's absolutely missed. We miss him being here. But, guys, we're going to do the best we can working through this thing tonight.
Well, you know, Coach, I could tell right off when Michael was introducing everybody, I knew when you started that it was not Rusty Taylor.
Yeah. That's right.
That's all he's going to say about that.
Yeah, that's all he needs to say. Yeah.
We'll miss Rusty tonight, but it's glad to have you, and it's glad to have Coach Giddens along with us tonight as well.
That's right. We got Heath Bone here in a support role, our man Heath Stroud, here with us in case to keep us everything working the way it needs to work, and we're proud to be with you tonight here.
It's like a safety net when Heath is
here. Oh, yeah. You're more comfortable when Heath's around.
That's right.
And I can't believe I'm saying that. 30 years ago, I'd have never thought I'd said that. But it's a little more comfortable when Heath's around to make things work. And a crowd a little off tonight at the Fiesta right now because actually taking place out on the campus of Central of Clay County is our homecoming parade, Coach Giddens.
It should be down because the parade is a big thing. It's nice to be able to have it out at the school, make the big loop around the school, just see the homecoming court and all the, they've been working really hard at the school. The students have on bales of hay, floats, doors, hallways.
And you've had a chance to see all that during the week in your capacity out there.
They've put a lot of time and effort, and they've had a good time. And so, everybody will show up and support, that activity because that's their ball game in a way.
Absolutely, yes.
And I was actually on campus this afternoon and was able to see a lot of the things that I mean, from the moment you pull in till you get to the back of the school, there's something there that kids have been working on. And I even understand that tonight the activities will continue with a homecoming dance.
They have it out in the courtyard.
The homecoming dance in the courtyard.
Tonight,
okay.
Tonight in the courtyard.
Right.
Yeah. And they said last year the kids really enjoyed it and stayed, and so they do it again.
So I know I've got a granddaughter that said she's going. So it's going to be a big thing, and then of course it all culminates tomorrow night
with the ball game,
with the football game, and that's why we're here right now.
That's exactly right, and we're here to do a Football Fiesta, a little different, kind of some segments kind of lined up a little different time because of the parade going on and the homecoming activities out there just getting underway now on campus there. We're going to take a look back at last week's game and look at the contest that we had between our Vols and the Marbury Bulldogs. Then we'll go ahead and look at, and we'll kind of preview the game coming up tomorrow night, that homecoming game matchup between our Vols and the Aggies of Sylacauga. Then we'll move into looking at our top 10 in 5A and how our opponents have fared so far this year. And then our last segment tonight, we'll wind up the night tonight with the segment where we have our Player of the Week award presented along with his position coach. So to give those guys, coach and player, time to participate in some of those activities and then come in here for the end of our fiesta.
And it's funny you said that because on the way over, me and Diane was talking about tomorrow. He said he's either going to have to be at the fiesta or at the parade.
But yeah, so we just
radio worked it out.
We just made a little change.
That's good.
Change, working on a change and sudden change. You kind of adjust those things.
Make it that
part of it. Right. But guys, let's go back and let's go back to last Friday night. Our Vols made a road trip. Their first region road game down to Deetsville to Marbury High School to take on the Marbury Bulldogs. And just you two guys kind of look back at that game and take us through that game. Our Vols victorious there, 34-3 grabbing another win in the region to go to 2-0 in region play and put themselves exactly where you want to be after two games of region play.
Well, what we saw last week, Coach, was Marbury came into this game with their starting quarterback out, and they were going with a young guy that had very little experience at quarterback. And so what they did, their game plan was to try to shorten the football game. And they did this by controlling the play clock between plays. They would use up all their time. And it was very interesting because the actual play clocks at the stadium were not working, and an official down on the field was keeping it. And we heard Coach Horn earlier this week when we talked with him. He made mention of the fact that to him it seemed like it was somewhere over 40 seconds almost every play. But it was a good plan, I thought, by Marbury to try to do that under the circumstances that they were faced with. And it, and so what it did was it limited the possessions that the Volunteers actually had. But the reason their plan worked in the first half, they only made a couple of first downs on their own. But the Volunteers committed 3 15-yard penalties that gave them first downs. So with those 5 possessions, they were able to milk the clock pretty much between what possessions that the Volunteers did have. And so that's what kept the game close as long as it stayed that way. But the Volunteers, I mean, you never felt like they were in danger in that game.
Right.
You know, because they pretty much dominated the line of scrimmage as they've done all year, and they really limited Marbury on any sort of offensive production whatsoever. They had less than 100 yards total offense. So that's what I observed. And, you know, Marbury had a good game plan, but the Volunteers in the end were able to overcome that.
Well, I would, first of all, about Marbury, they may have found their quarterback.
They may have.
The play, you know, it suited their team. Me and Coach Ian was up there talking.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we agreed it was a great game plan, but, you know, the quarterback, he had some really good speed. I mean, he beat us to the corner a few times, and I agree that Marbury, you know, they had a great plan and executed very well, and you know, the penalties is what sticks out to me about Clay Central. We played, you know, I thought we played a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Just the penalties hurt us, and turnovers. We didn't have a turnover, did we?
I believe we were turnover free last week.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
But the penalties you mentioned, 85 yards.
Yeah, that hurt us. And Coach Hill and I brought up an interesting fact the night before the game,
mm-hmm.
talking about where you take over the ball and how many yards you can possibly have.
Yes.
From where you start the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit, the first half, didn't we get well,
the first yard the week? First half, we had 3 possessions. We scored every possession. So during that first half, we gained every yard we could have possibly made.
Right, we scored every time.
Yeah, because we didn't leave any yards on the field.
I thought that was a neat stat.
In that possession, right. in the first half.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
But
keeping up with that.
Let me ask you two guys this, from a coaching standpoint, for our Volunteers and for Coach Horn and the staff, especially from a defensive side,
mm-hmm.
we're all used to play clocks now. Now, those of us who are old enough, we remember when there wasn't right. a play clock, and it was always kept on the field, and you had, you know, you do a little arguing about that sometimes.
Yeah.
But even a defense is used to being able to see how much time is left on that play clock.
That's right.
How does that change things, or does it any, on the defensive side of the ball, sitting there waiting, knowing, you know, as it counts down,
what?
You know, under 10, you know, even a defensive player can see it on the end, and he knows it's fixing, you know, we're getting close.
Well, what I've
when
noticed,
we don't know that, how can that affect the defensive side?
Well, being at practice and watching them and going to the games and being on the headset, I think most of our defensive calls are based on the formation
mm-hmm.
in which they line up in.
Right.
And the linebackers make a lot of their own calls based on either the motion that they see from
mm-hmm.
the offense or their alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So just based on that, you know, I don't think the play clock really hurt Clay Central as far as communicating and knowing
right.
what type of defense is in.
Mm-hmm.
They just adjust to what the offense lines up into, which, you know, that's a great way to do it.
Right.
Well, speaking of that play clock, Coach, back in the day, it was 25 seconds.
Right.
And you knew exactly when it started because it's when the official blew his whistle and put the ball in play. That's when the 25 seconds starts. Well, now with a 40-second play clock, when a play is blown dead, the clock is supposed to start. But if you'll notice at a stadium in a high school game, that 40-second clock doesn't always start at that point.
Right.
It starts at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the official still gives the signal, but sometimes they'll wait a few seconds before they actually start it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they'll start it just on time. So with nothing visual there to see, you don't really know if you've got a coach assigned on the sideline keeping it on a stopwatch, which some people have done when
right.
there's no play clock, that guy doesn't know really when the 40-second starts
right.
because there's so much inconsistency among referee crews
mm-hmm.
of when the 40-second clock actually starts. So I think that may be what happened last week some, where Coach Horn felt like it may have been more than 40 seconds. But in the old days, there really was no errors made because the referee blew the whistle and put it in play, and the 25-second clock started at that point.
Let's move to the offensive side of the ball for the Volunteers, and I want to start off along the offensive line because that's where it all starts for an offense. That their success is going to be kind of dictated by how well the offensive line can do a lot of times. And, again, across the offensive line this past week, we had all five of our starting linemen. The grading system we worked on, they all graded it with a passing grade of 70 or higher. We had last week's player of the week, Cole Rice, at 85%,
mm-hmm.
a good grade there. Dewey Brown, our left tackle, he graded out at 82% this past week. Chance Helms, the center, after a couple of rough starts and kind of down in the below 70, Chance was up to 79 this past week in the Marbury game. You had J.D. Owens, our right guard, also at 79, and then Noah Peterson, our right tackle, at 74%. So all of those guys, again, 70 or higher, that 70 is kind of that benchmark that our coaching staff is looking for those guys to be successful. And you know, you look at those type numbers and you get those type percentage grades out of those guys, then most of the time that's going to lead you into some of these other numbers we see overall for the team and for some individuals.
Well, and an offensive oddity to this game, which actually has turned into normal for this year. For the third time in four games, the Volunteers had more passing yardage than they did rushing yardage. We had 132 yards rushing. We had 184 yards passing. So, you know, and we heard Coach Horn speak to that Monday morning when we had him on the three-point stance. But, you know, back in the old years, it was very odd for that to even happen once a year. But here we've had it happen in three of the four games so far.
But don't you think, Coach, in today's football, you've got to score more to win.
Oh, yeah.
Than we used to have to score. And if you can't throw the ball or at least have the threat of the downfield pass, you're not going to move the ball very efficiently.
And I think the key, though, to our passing yardage, I think for the first time in several years we've got a quarterback that has a little bit different skill set than maybe some of the others we had. And so I think the offensive coaches are taking advantage of that,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, with soap, and that's why we're throwing the ball more and more effectively.
Well, we're, you know, actually running RPOs with the pass as an option.
That's right.
And we really hadn't seen that. Most of our RPOs have been more just a quarterback give it or keep it.
Right.
But now we've added the threat.
The true RPOs?
It's a true
the
RPO.
There's some true triple option. It looks a little different, but it's the triple option.
That's right.
Hey, we've made our way to 6:14 on this edition of Football Fiesta, brought to you on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network. We'll step away and take a break. Football Fiesta, Classic Country, 90.9.
Ashland Auto Parts, the locally owned and operated Napa Auto Parts store, knows how important it is to keep vehicles running smoothly. High quality parts, tools, and accessories, all backed by Napa reliability. Whether a pro or do-it-yourselfer, Jim, Jack, Ralph, Logan, or Sharon at Ashland Auto Parts can help. Located in the heart of Ashland and open Monday through Saturday, Ashland Auto Parts.
Are you dreaming of starting a new business? Discover the opportunities waiting for you at the Clay County Economic Development Center. Located on Highway 77 in Ashland, across from the Coffee Bean, the newly renovated facility has resources you need to get your business started on the right foot. Whether you need help with financing, building a business plan, or need temporary office space, the Economic Development Center is here to turn your vision into a success. Stop by the Economic Development Center during business hours or visit online at ClayCountyEconomicDC.org and start your business journey today.
Don's Pawn and Jewelry in Ashland is a trusted local pawn shop with years of experience serving Clay County residents and beyond. The shop has items including jewelry, electronics, tools, guns, and more. With a reputation for reliability, Don's Pawn and Jewelry has a secure and friendly environment. Conveniently located on Court Square in Ashland, the shop is a well-known spot in the community for quality goods and trusted service. 256-354-2727. 256-354-2727.
East Central Alabama Gas District is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Located Highway 77 in Ashland, East Central Alabama Gas has teamed up with Natural Gas Connection as your hometown natural gas appliance store. They offer free financing up to 60 months. East Central Alabama Gas has Generac generators, tankless water heaters, space heaters, and gas logs as well as grills. Their phone number is 256-354-2194. East Central Alabama Gas District, natural gas, comfortable, responsible.
The calendar may say September, but this Saturday is Oktoberfest at Farmhouse and Company. Beginning at 3 p.m. this Saturday, Farmhouse will transform into a scene straight from Munich, Germany. The deck will be decorated for pictures, big salted pretzels, and candied apples will also be available. There will be kids' activities on the front lawn. Then the beer stein competition kicks off at 5:30. The authentic schnitzel dinner comes complete with mushroom gravy, German potato salad, and sauerkraut. It's all this Saturday at Farmhouse and Company in downtown Lineville. Proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Welcome back in to Football Fiesta across the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network. Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Steve Giddens, our man Rusty Taylor, the voice of the Vols, a previous commitment tonight out of pocket, and we're slugging away through best we can with that. We sure miss him being here, but we're pressing right on. You just got to squat low and push hard, and we're pushing on.
I think you're doing a good job
through this Football Fiesta. We appreciate the Harris clan being here with us tonight. Good looking bunch of Harrises sitting out there. And with us here at Monte Albon 2 on the square. And
Coach, let me mention this about Adam that's in here.
Okay.
He actually listened to our segment this morning when we were talking about the lineman group work out on the practice field.
Yes.
And he made mention of that to me.
He remembered
morning.
That, yeah.
He remembered those days.
He was in there, yeah. He was part of that group down there.
You think he enjoyed
it? We had to help him get out of there many days.
You think he enjoyed it as much as y'all say y'all did?
Oh, yeah, he loved it, Coach. He was having a ball down there. Yeah, he was having a ball. He was having a ball. Hey, let's take a look now, guys. We've moved on from Marbury last week. Our Vols with that 34-3 win. Now sitting at 2-0 in region play, headed into their third region game of the year before, and actually this is the fifth game, the halfway point of the football season. It's absolutely amazing. At 4-0 overall, 2-0 in region play, and it's a big region game tomorrow night when the Sylacauga Aggies make the trip over Bull Gap Mountain, a 2-2 record with the Aggies, and they're making the trip over Bull Gap to Volunteer Stadium for kickoff tomorrow night.
Well, the Sylacauga actually won their first two games, both non-region games, and then when they hit region play, they encountered a little bit of trouble as they lost to Hopewell, and then last week lost to a very good Beauregard team. And, of course, we talked with Chris Smedley, the head coach, this morning. And, you know, the thing about Coach Smedley, he was at American Christian over there in Tuscaloosa for 7 years and had a 65-21 record. And, you know, his teams went to the third round of the playoffs 3 of those 7 years, and they went to the semifinals 4 of those 7 years. So Chris Smedley is a good coach. And, you know, he talked with us this morning about some of the differences from American Christian to Sylacauga. And he's having to develop, I guess, a new culture there at Sylacauga. But he's slowly doing that because you remember last year they lost their first 7 games. Before they played a little better towards the end. But they're bringing a team in here that's hungry, for an area win in particular. He feels like they still, you know, basically there's four teams at this point fighting for two playoff spots. He feels like he has as good a chance as anybody else, and he, I think his big concern is getting through this game tomorrow night against the Volunteers, and then looking ahead to some of the other teams that he feels like he can compete with a little better. But they'll come in here tomorrow night and play the Volunteers hard.
Well, we look at the Sylacauga Aggies. They're in their 116th season of football.
They are.
They are. And compared, you know, comparatively, our Clay Central Vols only our 13th here. But Sylacauga in their 116th season, an overall record in that time of 607 wins, 433 losses, and 40 ties. A state championship, a playoff state championship in 1969, and nine area or region championships won by those Aggies across those 116 seasons. And here's an interesting little twist that in Central's 12 previous seasons, of course, we played Hanley every year. They're a 12-year opponent. But Sylacauga's the second most opponent. We've been with them now 10 years. And this will be the 11th time out of 13 years that we've been with Sylacauga on the field.
And we're 10-0 against them.
We are so far.
In those 10 games.
So far.
And you mentioned that winning record all time for Sylacauga. I'm going to say they're in the top 20 in the state winning percentage overall.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know, talking to Coach Smith this morning, you know, he was talking about this year's team, and he said both his senior and his junior classes, he's low in numbers.
Right.
So, obviously, you know, I wouldn't say he's run people off, but he's made it to where if you want to play football over there, you know, you go pay the price.
It'll be a certain way.
And maybe,
right?
You know, they're working through that, you know, last year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to pay out for him.
Right.
You know, I didn't realize he played college football at South Carolina under Steve Spurrier.
He did. And then he ended up playing baseball in Alabama.
He did. Came back and played had another year and played at Alabama. Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. If he was just, part of Sylacauga's problem has been over the last few years, they just had different head coaches every year or 2 years.
Coach Griffith was there for several years, and then after he stepped aside, there's been some change there over the last few years.
We know as good as anybody, you know, stability, you know, that helps your program almost as much as, you know, the other things that it takes to.
Well, one big thing that's happened to this team, and he told us about it today, in the second game, their starting quarterback, who was a senior, went down with a broken collarbone and, of course, is out. And they've got a sophomore, London Howell, that has stepped in. And you know, according to all reports, he can throw the ball deep very well. Mm-hmm. And another factor that will be a little bit harder for us from a defensive standpoint, he's left-handed, which means he'll be sprinting to his left, throwing a lot, and the defense is used to seeing more right-handed quarterbacks going to the right. So that'll give us a different look defensively. But London Howell has stepped in at quarterback and done a very good job for him.
Well, I know they start seven seniors on offense.
Yeah, they're seniors across the front, except for one sophomore there in the middle.
Their size is, you know, they got decent size.
Yeah, they're averaging across their offensive line. They're averaging right at 250.
You can work with that.
So that's some good size. You can
and of course, we talked with Jeremy Law yesterday about one of their tackles, there, Quan Weaver, who's 6'2", 300, and he's a young guy. He's a freshman. But you know, Jeremy feels like that one day he'll develop and get his footwork and his fundamentals a little better and be. You know, be more effective there blocking. But right now, that size, I mean, basically he can just screen us some.
Right, yeah. Like what you say, if you can just move, there's a hole there if you're that big.
So we know their offense is the spread. Basically,
the
nowadays,
spread
everybody's
offense.
The spread. But as you guys have looked at a little film and studied them some, what are some tweaks or some specific things that Sylacauga in their spread may be a little different than you see in some other teams?
Well, they'll line people up. They'll a different type of alignment with their H-back, and they'll go with two halfbacks in there some and kind of stagger one. But, you know, they're going to run a lot of, like most spread teams do, they're going to run a lot of counters. They're going to run a lot of buck sweeps. They're going to run a lot of G's where onside guards are pulling. So they're going to run the ball. They're going to try to establish their running game you know, before they go to their passing game. And then when they do go to the passing game, they're going to throw a deep ball quite a bit, and they're going to throw some slants and some shorter routes mixed in there. And they like to screen a lot as well. So very balanced there offensively. But, you know, they're going to try to establish the running game first.
Coach Giddens, is it still the type of offense where our inside linebackers, we're still going to be reading those guards because they're going to running plays, they're going to still carry them to you.
And they'll carry right to the play.
Yeah.
They don't do anything that we haven't seen.
Right.
Now, the screen game is what always give us trouble, but this whole year we've handled screens very well.
The worst practice play in the history.
You can't do it. You can't simulate it.
You can't practice against
it. We play enough man-to-man coverage in the secondary that the screens have not hurt us yet this year.
Right. You know. We flip over, jump on the other side of the ball, looking at their defense. We're going to see kind of a different look tonight, something that has kind of evolved over the years and in the years that we all were in it. It's a 3-3 defense, kind of a 3-3 stack at times, maybe a 3-5 look at times, maybe even a 5-3, depending on how they align some folks. A lot of times that middle linebacker is going to be walking up in there and making, giving the appearance of a four-man front. So what are some ways as it starts out in that base 3-3 stack look and then the adjustments that they make out of it, what kind of attack do we look, you know, what kind of things can we look for maybe out of the Vols as they attack that type of defense?
Well, their Mike linebacker, their middle linebacker is Lionel Chanot. He weighs 265, so they'll use him to walk up in the line of scrimmage some. And when he does, they'll adjust their techniques across the front, and it'll be just like a four-man front. So, you know, they have the capability of changing the blocking scheme at the line of scrimmage when he walks up. Sometimes he'll line up, sometimes he'll walk up, but they're going to do what caught my eye. They do a lot of stunts, and they'll do some twist where their outside guys will, you know, kind of fold back to the inside. That changes blocking assignments when that happens, and they're going to do some outside linebacker stuff where they just fire from the outside. Somebody will have to pick that up, and they're going to do some. With Chanot in there at the real true Mike position, they'll do some middle X stunts like out of the old 5-3.
And they'll combine them.
And they do a combination stunt. So our offensive linemen are going to have their head up, and they're going to have to communicate.
I think if you talk to Mullen, Chris was an offensive line coach. Just in my latter years is when we got to start seeing the 3-3 a good bit. And that's the hardest. It's the hardest defense to really prepare for as far as accounting for
who's going to be where.
Who's going to be
once
where.
Once the ball snaps.
You don't know who's going to be where.
Right. I used to love the when we played a 3-3 team and the scout team.
Yeah.
I used to love those stunts.
You love it because you make it, the offensive guys get
the different stacks. Yeah. All right, 1-3 this time. Let's get it.
We had them numbered, 1, 2, 3.
And the players love doing it.
Yeah, and if we call their number, they just talked to each other and told each other which they were going.
Fun.
Do you think a team, like so we look at Sylacauga's roster, their lineup, their three down guys that are there most of the time that are going to be down, you know, they're probably a little undersized compared to a lot of people. They're, you know, 190, 190, and 185.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're talking about an average right there with those three guys with their hand in the dirt under 200 pounds against our line that's pretty, you know, averaging well over 200, you know, pushing 250, 260 there. Would some of this defense and the way you move there, would part of that be because maybe a lack of a little size, but they've got some speed and some agility and get them moving to compensate for some lack of size?
Well, you know, that's what we do at Central.
Right, we do. Because we're not overly big on the defensive front.
Right. Very rarely our defensive line just sit and play technique.
Right.
They're either slanting or stunting.
Mm-hmm.
But no, as a matter of fact, you know, some of the best defense lines I ever had was about that size.
Because they can move.
They can move.
They can move.
And we've had some of our players tell us that they had rather block a big guy than a smaller guy.
Right, exactly.
That can move. Yeah, that defense, I mean, it's
– it causes some problems.
I wish I would have had – the courage to run it.
Right.
You know, because you give up some stuff to run it.
Yeah.
But you also get some stuff.
What do you give up? If you're running that, what's...
Well, I mean, you'll give up big plays.
Mm-hmm. If you, pretty regular.
Yeah, if you stunt the wrong gap.
Right.
I mean, they...
And they hit it right.
Outnumber you on mm-hmm. the other side. Yeah, if you hit it wrong, I mean, mm-hmm. there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
But now you go get some big plays. But yeah, I always felt like Coach Wayne, yeah, the big plays will go hurt you more often.
More often than your big plays will help you.
Yes, yeah. We tried it one spring, and I can't do it.
Couldn't make yourself pull the trigger.
Well, what happens, you know, when you got people supposed to be hitting gaps, you know, you'll have two people going the same gap. And it always, every time you do that, they happen to run the gap you don't have covered.
And a lot of the big plays we give up this year on defense, which is not many, granted, is because a couple of times I know, you know, we had two people in the same gap on our mm-hmm. our stunt.
Right.
That's what happens.
Right.
And granted, it hadn't happened much, but the big plays we give up most of the time hadn't been because we just got blocked. It's because we hit two people in the wrong route.
Tomorrow night is the Sylacauga Aggies making the trip over Bull Gap Mountain, coming in from Sylacauga to Volunteer Stadium to take on our Clay Central Volunteers. It's game three in region play for both of them. Sylacauga at 0-2, looking for that first region win. Clay Central, the Volunteers at 2-0, wanting to head into the non-region week for everybody next week, and hoping to be at 3-0 after the first three games of region play. Halfway for the Vol season, as it's game number five for the Clay Central Volunteers in this 2024 season. We've made our way to 6:31. We'll step away, regroup, and be coming back to you. It's Football Fiesta at Monte Albán 2 on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network.
Frank's Point of View, a hidden gem overlooking Talladega National Forest. Enjoy endless views, stunning sunsets, and starry nights. Each spacious RV site includes a picnic table, sun canopy, privacy panel, fire pit, and hammock hooks. Hike miles of scenic trails and let your four-legged friends roam free. Frank's Point of View is online at frankspointofview.com. Phone number 256-456-5800. Frank's Point of View, your perfect getaway awaits.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is Ashland's DIY store. They have all your gardening products, along with everything to take care of the inside and outside of your home. Heck, they even have ice cream makers and knives. If you need it, they have it or will get it for you. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
Tires are an investment, and you can extend the life of your tires with proper alignment. Highway 9 Tire in Lineville now has a calibrated four-post alignment rack for front and rear alignments. This all-new alignment rack works on the newest models and even the antique cars. The phone number for Highway 9 Tire is 256-396-3040. They also offer a full-time mechanic to keep you rolling down the road. Highway 9 Tire is also your local X-Mark dealer and is proud to support Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network. The Clay Central Volunteers are known around the state for their great tradition. The same can be said about the tradition of service at Hill Auto Sales. For the past 10 years, Hill Auto Sales has been a huge part of this community, from supporting the local schools and sports teams and organizations. Hill's Auto Sales is committed to you. Located in the heart of Lineville, Hill Auto Sales is open Monday through Friday, 8 until 5. The website is buyfromhill.com. The phone number is 256-396-1100. Proud to sponsor the Clay Central Sports Network.
Honey's Home Cooking. The sound of that probably takes you back to your mom's special dish or those meals at Grandma's house. A meal at Honey's Cafe may not cause you to spend hours in the kitchen, but it tastes just like you did. Located at 60 Park South in Lineville, Honey's Cafe features meats and vegetables that are cooked fresh each morning. Open Sunday through Friday from 10:30 to 2. Their phone number is 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe is proud to bring you volunteer athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and taste, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Welcome back in. Football Fiesta coming to you live from Monte Albán 2 on the Clay County Courthouse Square in Ashland, Alabama. Coach Chris Heron, Coach Steve Giddens, Coach Jerry Weems, Rusty Taylor out of pocket this morning with a previous commitment, and we sure miss him, but he'll be back with us. He'll be back Friday night, tomorrow night at the ball game and bringing all that action, and back right here next Thursday night for another edition of Football Fiesta. But on this Thursday night, 6:35, and let's go, guys. Let's take a look back at our opponents for the year and how they all fared last week, and kind of where they stand after this fourth week of the season. We'll start off with the Hanley Tigers. They're at 2-2 now after dropping a region game last week down in Montgomery at St. James, as Hanley lost to St. James 21-18 to fall to 2-2 on the year and 1-1 in the region play. This week they're taking on the Mumford Lions. They're down in Hanley at right field.
Hanley's a lot like Clay Central. They don't lose many region games.
No, that doesn't happen often. So,
and this Mumford game is another region game.
It is another region game this week. And all the games we have this week are actually region games for everybody on our schedule. Benjamin Russell, those Wildcats, at 2-2 on the year, but more importantly at 2-0 in region play, as they defeated the Chilton County Tigers this past week, 55-21, and they'll be making the trip up 280 into the Hoover area to take on the Spain Park Jaguars this week in a big region matchup there, taking their 2-0 region record on the line.
I think we may have played Benjamin Russell at the perfect time.
Good time. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play them again.
Yeah, they were a good team and dropped their first two after an 0-2 start, but now at 2-2, and those two wins in region play, and right where they want to be this early in the season. Valley at 1-2 now. They were open last week. They had the open date, being in our 7-team region. They're at 1-2 on the year, 0-1 in region, dropping their only region game so far to the Volunteers. And this week they will be hosting Marbury. Those Bulldogs will be traveling from Deeksville over to Valley, taking on the Valley Rams.
That should be a good game, actually.
And here it is, just of course, the Marbury, those Bulldogs, our next team on the schedule, 0-4 now at 0-2, and their loss last week to the Central Volunteers, headed over to Valley, and that's a big game for those two teams.
I think the winner of that may slide in at the 4-7.
They've still got a shot. The loser of that one's going to kind of be behind the 8-ball, dropping to a 0-2 or 0-3 in region play. The Sylacauga Aggies, they're coming over tomorrow night, 2-2 overall, 0-2 in the region. They fell to Beauregard last week. Beauregard winning that game 42-10, and they come to Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night. Sylacauga at 0-2 and in need of needing to pick up a region win and not fall into 0-3 this, you know, early in the region race. Scottsboro, the team we'll face next week when we step out of region play. Scottsboro at 4-0 on the year, 2-0 in their region. Last week they had a region win at Douglas, where they won 45-13, and they take on Sardis tomorrow night at Scottsboro in a region game before that non-region game between the Scottsboro and Central Clay County next week, when we'll be making the trip up that way.
And, Coach, I watched a little bit of film on Scottsboro this week.
Careful now.
Looking ahead.
Oh, we can do that now. We can do that now.
We can do that.
Yeah, we used to couldn't, but we can now.
But they're a power football team.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, their field is artificial turf.
Speed
for us.
Yeah,
they're more power team than they are speed.
Right,
but we'll talk more about that next week.
Elmore County. Hey, they were at home last week against Hopeville. They went to 3-0 overall, 1-0 in region play with a 28-7 win over Hopeville, and they'll be on the road this week down to take on the Beauregard Hornets. Hopeville, 1-3. Of course, we just mentioned they had that loss to Elmore County last week. They're at 1-3 on the season, 1-1 in region play, and they're the team that draws the open week in our 7-team region tomorrow night. So they'll be off tomorrow night. And then there's Beauregard, we've already mentioned. They're at 3-1 on the year, 2-0 in region play after their win at Sylacauga last week. They defeated Sylacauga 42-10. They're hosting Elmore County this week.
You know who beat Beauregard? Who beat Beauregard?
Beauregard's loss came to, I can't recall it, Coach.
It's probably the first game of the year,
it was one of their non-region games. It was. And in Pell City, those Panthers, the other side of Logan Martin Lake, 1-3 overall on the season, 0-2 in region play as they fell last week. They made the trip up to Mountain Brook. The Mountain Brook Spartans defeating the Pell City Panthers 41-14, and Pell City hosting the Huffman Vikings tomorrow night at Pete Rich Stadium in Pell City. So there's a look at are the opponents on Central's regular season schedule. Coaches, let's look at the top 10 in 5A. Some of those teams, maybe who's moved up, who's moved down, and who they're taking on this week in 5A top 10 action.
Well, we had a little bit of movement at the bottom as Williamson from down in Mobile moved into the top 10 at number 10, and Ramsey moved out after having been in there for three consecutive years, I think, every week. But looking at the entire top 10 in 5A, number one is holding on that, that spot is Gunnersville, and they'll be facing ARAP tomorrow night. Number two is Catholic of Montgomery. And they'll have a big game tomorrow night with Charles Henderson High School. The Volunteers still in the number three spot and will host Sylacauga tomorrow night. The number four team, the Leeds Green Wave, and they'll be playing Clint Smith's Jacksonville team tomorrow night. Number five, Fairview, they'll play Lawrence County. Number six in 5A is Vigor. They'll play Central Nail tomorrow night.
Coach, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
I think that's one for us to keep an eye on.
Vigor Wolves.
I think one is one of those scores that a fan of our Clay Central Volunteers, we want to maybe keep an eye on their scores.
Okay, let me ask if you know Leeds. Do they still have the field with just one side of stands?
They do,
they
Coach.
They do.
The one
it's
side.
The weirdest thing.
It is odd. It is.
It's different.
But I kind of like it. As the visiting team, I kind of like that. Yeah, it wasn't a bad setup.
No, Coach, let me tell you this story. Last summer, I actually spent a week up there doing perfect game baseball. Mm-hmm. And their coach, we were in the same building where their coaching staff was. And they actually met each day of their workouts. They filmed the workouts, and they had coaches' meetings after the workouts.
During the summer.
And reviewed the film of the workout. Very organized.
Wow.
And you know, they've been a top 10 team now for several years.
No doubt.
They play Jacksonville tomorrow night. But I was very impressed with the Leeds football operation.
Well, let me tell you something that wasn't organized. The last time we went to Leeds, it's Clay Central.
Right.
You know who started the game on the chain group? Our principal, me. You remember that?
Is that the night we had the weather delay?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
And John Garrett came down at halftime and said, "You know, I got it."
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they've come a long way since those days.
Of course, they were good back then. They were good.
Going back to the top 10, we've made it to number 7. That would be Scottsboro, and of course they'll play Sardis. Number 8 is Moody. They play Helena. Number 9 is Corner. They'll be open tomorrow night. And then that number 10 team we mentioned is Williamson. They'll be playing BC Rain. So it's still heavy on northern teams in the northern part of the state.
Coach, there's three teams on there that I'm like Coach Hinn, and we talked about it. Mm-hmm. There's three teams on there that I think you better keep your eye on. And that's the Clay Central Volunteers, the Vigor Wolves, and Montgomery Catholic, what are they, Golden Knights?
I think that's correct.
I think it'll be one of them three teams.
Keep your eyes on those three scores every week.
All right. I'll watch those.
There you go. Hey, we're at 6:43. We're going to step away. We come back. We'll have some guests joining us here as we get ready to make a presentation right here. Football Fiesta on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network on Classic Country 90.9. You stay with us.
Cook Foods in Ashland is proud to be a part of this community. Their involvement each year reaches far beyond the walls of their facility. Cook Foods is involved in many projects and supports multiple organizations in our area. Things like the Clay County Yellow Meated Watermelon Festival, Heritage Day in Lineville, the Clay County Chamber of Commerce, and the Clay County Economic Development Council. Cook Foods in Ashland is also proud to sponsor the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Go Vols!
Are you tired of spending way too much time deciding what to cook? Matthew's Meat Market in Lineville has heat and eat meals that are perfect for the entire family. How about meatloaf, stuffed pork chops, and bacon-wrapped tenderloin? Located at 61272 Highway 49, north of Lineville, Matthew's Meat Market is open from 8 to 5, Monday through Saturday, with the exception of Wednesdays. Their phone number is 256-396-5694. They're also on Facebook. Matthew's Meat Market, from a local farm to a local table, proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lineville proudly support the Radio Alabama Foundation and the Clay Central Sports Network. From farm fresh fruits and vegetables to frozen meals and dairy products, Piggly Wiggly is ready to serve you. They also have many local high school students who learn the value of teamwork and customer service as valuable employees. Located in the heart of Ashland and Lineville, Piggly Wiggly, down home, down the street.
A brisket biscuit. It's more than a tongue twister, it's a taste bud pleaser. Sassy's convenience store in Lineville features smoked brisket as one of their many breakfast items. Sassy's also has bacon, ham, pork chop, and sausage biscuits, and you can even add egg and cheese to any of them. They also have homemade gravy biscuits. Located at 88785 Highway 9 in Lineville, Sassy's is a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Your Backdoor Feed Store in Ashland is helping little farmhands survive with all kinds of new boots for the new school year. And for mom and dad, they have feed for farm animals and farming supplies. Your Backdoor Feed Store, right off Ashland Square by Piggly Wiggly. Open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Your Backdoor Feed Store.
Welcome back in. Football Fiesta coming to you live on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network from Monte Albán 2 on the square, downtown Ashland, Alabama. And guys, we've got a special guest in here now.
Hey,
a little later than normal. He's been parading around and doing all those activities we talked about earlier, but he's in the house with us right now, and it is this week's Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game for the Clay Central versus Marbury game of September the 13th, 2024. Player of the game, Damari Whetstone. How about that? Yes, sir.
Well deserved. And he brought a big crowd with him from the parade.
Oh, coach, they come in here. He came in. The whole bunch came in with him. I mean, the crowd has picked up. We're glad to see everybody. And, coach, tell us a little bit about some of the things Damari done to get this award this week.
Well, first of all, let me mention this. A couple of other weeks during the season, Damari's name actually came up when we were talking about this player of the week.
Sure did.
And we had some other good people that stood out this week. Soak Gibbons completed 8 out of 10 for 149 yards. Caden Glenn caught 3 passes for 106 yards. So, Damari, if he beat those out, then he's had an outstanding night.
He had a good one, Coach.
He did a lot of his most of his damage on the defensive side, where he had 9 solo tackles. And I know this, Rusty and I just kept on calling his name on the radio down at Marbury last Friday. But he had 9 solo tackles. He was in on 2 others. He led the team this past week in the defensive points, a chart that the coaches keep, and you accumulate points based on things that you do during the game. And he also, which really stood out, he had 4 tackles for loss, which is, that's a high number in one game. And then, he chipped in on the offensive side, too. He carried the ball once for 8 yards. He had 2 pass receptions for 21 yards. So just an all-around good game for Damari. And he's made a lot of big plays throughout the year on the defensive side, but a lot of them came last week as well. So a great game for Damari.
Well, I've just seen Damari, playing both ways. You never look tired out there on the field to me. You get on, defense, and I'm impressed with the pressure you bring from the backside when the ball goes away from you and how fast you close that gap. And offensively, I know you catch the ball and run it, but you know, your blocking has been pretty good too. I keep an eye on that. But all around, he's contributed on both sides of the ball every game. And, you know, we're glad that he's here. We hate that he's a senior in ways, but congratulations, Maury.
So, Damari, let's ask you a question, give you a chance to talk. You're four games in to this season so far, 4-0. What are some things that you contribute to the success that you have had as a team? What do you think are some of the reasons you guys have been so successful to this point?
I really just think that it's the point that coach know that I could blitz real good. He sent me on the backside. I'm just pressuring the quarterback and forcing him to make some throws that he really wouldn't want to. And getting our DBs to giving them good position to play the ball and stuff. And I want to say getting us good ball, getting us good positioning on offense too, forcing them to punt and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You play a little of both, some defense and offense. I mean, you're out there just all the time. You're all over the place. If you had to pick one or the other, offense or defense, which side would you stay on if you could only play one of them?
I say defense, really.
Oh, I understand. I get you. That's where you hit people.
I think that's where you belong.
That's where you get to hit somebody on that side.
Yes, sir.
That's where you belong.
That's good stuff. Now, DeMar, let me ask you this. Throughout your career, you're a senior.
Yes, sir.
And your career, is there any other different positions that you've played in your career in football than outside linebacker where you play now?
Ninth grade, I played inside linebacker.
Okay.
I played a lot of running back my 10th grade year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it, other than tight end and H-back.
What are some differences you've seen in playing linebacker from the inside position and then now moving to the outside position?
I feel like I like outside more because I get the freedom. I like to cover, and then I like to make open field tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But playing inside linebacker is pretty hard for real because you got to read too many keys.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot more stuff to pay attention to in there, and not some of that freedom you get out there on the edge.
Yes, sir.
Well, DeMar, we think you do an outstanding job.
Let me ask you this, DeMar, right quick. I know a lot of the times when you pressure the quarterback, it's been a call that's come in from the side. But on a running play, you run backs down from behind pretty frequent. Is that because you've read a block that somebody's pulling or blocking down, and you're just getting in a hip pocket and chasing? How do you run those plays down on running plays from the backside?
If you want to be for real, when I see them pull and then I see like a Gatorback or something shooting in a gap, I just try to take the chance and take their legs out before they get to running. And then I just want to stop them in the backfield with help our team, for real.
If you can get to them before they get going, I mean, that's kind of the best way to do it.
Yes, sir.
Well, you do a good job.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it.
Whatever you do.
Yeah, just keep doing it. Damari, we want to present you with your plaque. It reads, Damari Wedstone, Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game, Clay Central versus Marbury, September 13th, 2024, presented by Britches and Bows. Congratulations, young man.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Now, we're going to make a little movement now, and Damari's going to step down, and he's going to move over there, and we're going to have another guy come in here, the guy that helps Damari get into some of those positions before the snap is Coach Justin McCollum, outside linebackers coach. Coach, good to see you, Coach.
Good to be here. I've been kind of in the wind today. I've been running, so
have you?
Glad to be here.
Well, what's been going on with you, Coach? It's busy out there. It's busy.
I had to drive. In the parade.
Oh, you had a drive in the parade. What did you drive?
I drove the HOSA Club president and vice president.
Okay.
HOSA Club, which was my daughter and a young man.
Okay.
There you go.
I've been on the run.
On the move.
Yep.
And it's been kind of been that way all week out there, hasn't it? All the homecoming activities going on and that type of thing.
Mass chaos.
Are you going back to the dance?
Well,
you and your wife.
I've already got a text that if I hurry up, I can get back in time for pictures with my daughter and her dad.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean,
this is kind of like the prom.
It is. I mean, it's a big deal.
Hey, is there a curfew tonight for the players relating to this dance?
Is Coach Horn here?
I haven't seen him come in.
There probably should be, Coach Weems. He wanted to know when we started doing it on Thursday night.
When you started having the dance, yeah. That is a good question. That's kind of a new thing. That's a fair question. It is a fair question. Coach, talk to us just a few minutes here as we're winding down on this Thursday night football fiesta here at Monte Albán too. Speak to Damari and the development you've seen him make and being able to coach him in his career as he's moved through into his senior year now with the Volunteers.
Yeah, you know, Damari is one of those players that he came up after junior high, actually as an eighth grader, and they was able to practice with us for 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of felt like then he had a chance to be a special player for us. And then as a freshman, he come up and, you know, we started him out. He's got good size. Damari's had good size since he was a freshman. And we always kind of felt like he might be an inside backer, and he kind of got thrown to the wolves, I think. His first game as a starting inside linebacker was at Legion Field against those Dogs from Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove, yeah.
And that was
a learning experience.
That was a learning experience.
He wasn't the only one that struggled.
He was not.
Night.
There was about 11 on both sides of the ball that struggled.
He wasn't the only one.
But Damari is a hard worker. He's always been a hard worker. You know, and we when he was a 9th, 10th grade, he floated kind of back and forth from inside backer and outside backer. And then in the 10th grade, we made him a full-time outside backer. And he's kind of been there. He's had to go in and play inside a few times. But he's been primarily, I've coached him at outside for this third year in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's progressed. He's always physically had the look,
mm-hmm.
but like a lot of freshmen and sophomores.
His instincts are better now.
He's learned that go be the hitter instead of the hitty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is much more aggressive.
He's a much more aggressive player now than he was in, you know, a 9th and 10th grade, and he should be.
He should be.
And he's played a lot. I mean, people, I don't know, we'd have to take a long time to figure this out, but I'd say the last 2 years he's probably played more snaps than anybody because he's playing both ways the last 2 years. He don't get a lot of breaks. He very seldom asks for a break.
Well, and even last year, you know, when LaDamian went down, all of a sudden he was starting, being counted on to be a running back.
He went from getting a carry maybe in the wishbone ever so often to being the guy.
Right.
You know?
So but he adapted.
Well, and I tell you, and I know we move him around some on defense even now. I mean, he'll go down and play some in on the line. But on offense, one thing that's always really, really impressed me, and I've had him as a student, so I know he's a very smart player because he can go from tight end to H-back to running back. And you got to know, you know, the tight end might be blocking down, and if he's got the H is on his side playing like an old wing back, he might be turning out. Well, he may flip-flop positions on the very next play. And to be able to know, well, all right, an H-back, now I got to turn out, and the tight end's blocking. You know,
that's impressive.
It is impressive that he knows the plays from really about three positions on the offense. Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach, we've seen Damari develop through the years, and, you know, he's reached his senior year. And we know as a coach that you kind of look ahead. So if you check the depth chart here at outside linebacker, who is fitting into that slot? Who may you be grooming for a long-term situation to take Damari's spot?
Yeah, we talk about this quite often, honestly. We do every year.
Well, you have to.
You start talking about week one, week two, and, you know, then you're middle of the year, and you start thinking, well, what are we going to do? Because really, I mean, it's great if you can practice them in it. We have all of our linebackers inside and outside and the backups are all underclassmen except Damari. So we actually have probably about 5 guys. And to be honest, who will be inside and who will be outside next year is a question.
Well, and there are some of them probably interchangeable.
It is.
Or will play both,
which is a good problem to have.
It is. Caden Glenn's my number one sub right now, and he plays a lot right now. And Caden's been a safety for 2 years. So, but he's coming up and playing Jack, being my first backup. I have Camden Harris will be coming back next year. Will be a senior.
So it's going to be in good hands.
Yeah, well, it's going to be in good hands. We just, you know, it's going to be some young people.
Yeah.
They may not be young in the classroom,
but on the field.
But on the field, they're gonna be young. But you know, that's part of football. That's we go through it every year.
That's right.
Coach Justin McCollum with us tonight, our outside linebackers coach at Central LaClay County. Coach, thanks for giving us a little time tonight. I know you're busy guy, and
yes,
a lot going on, and getting ready for tomorrow. And we'll be there looking, watching you guys and watching y'all do your thing, and wish you the best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank y'all. I appreciate
smile
it.
Smile and hug
I'll
you
smile.
Dollars.
You go get those pictures.
Yeah, get them pictures, mate, Coach.
I'm going to get one tomorrow, and then I'm going to go get
that's
one
right.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to make that happen. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate
thank
your time.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Coaches, we're winding this thing down. Another, I think we could say, successful three-point not 3%. Successful football fiesta. We've almost made it all the way. And
just a few seconds.
Yeah, we've made it. And I appreciate everybody.
Everybody's
patience with us tonight. And I don't think not too many bad hiccups. We got through it. So we've done okay. Any final words before we hit
well,
head out?
Well, I'm glad Coach Giddens was here tonight with us because he kind of helped us glide on through this.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I rode your coattail. Yeah. I'm a coattail rider.
We appreciate you guys being with us tonight. Hey, we thank you for listening. Kind of like a Dodger crowd, Coach, kind of late arriving in here.
Late arriving.
Yeah. And we thank you for being with us right here on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network Football Fiesta. You can hear us again in the morning, 3-point stands from 8 to 10. We'll take one last look at it, and tomorrow night, 6:30.
Homecoming game.
The voice of the Volunteers, Rusty Taylor, along with his analyst, Coach Jerry Weems. They'll start their pregame show at 6, leading into the kickoff at 7 between the Clay Central Volunteers and the Sylacauga Aggies. Have a great evening, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless, and go Vols.
Thanks for listening to Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant. Follow the Volunteers all season long on the official home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. On Classic Country 90.9, the Clay Central Sports Network Facebook page, and the Radio Alabama app. Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network.